I asked Trent about it too, and he said as far as he knew, it was actually something relatively minor.
The way he explained it to me, that why he went to the police the next day was just to basically see what right he had to the house, because his name was still on the lease, because he still wanted to stay there because he couldn't afford to go anywhere else. And the way he explained to me, he didn't want to really stay with his mother. I don't really know why. I'm pretty sure even on the Friday he asked me, is it alright if I bring some of my stuff over and put it in the granny flat? And I said, yeah, that's fine. And I still expected him to see him on the Friday night, but he just never rocked up.
Jack went back to the house he shared with Carly to get all of his things, and he drove off with his car chock full of stuff. But instead of going to Trent's place, he went out drinking with his friend Chris at Fix Crossing. I discovered later that Jack and Carly were actually in regular contact throughout that night over text messages and phone calls. It means that even though they never saw each other that Friday, Carly was likely one of the very last people to have heard from Jack. What I want to know is, what were Jack and Carly texting about that night? 2 months after Jack's disappearance, the absence of any concrete answers to what happened to him, it's starting to cause trouble. In the information void that's opened up, people are saying some awful things about Carly. They call her names, they post photos of her taken while she's out shopping, and I've seen some bizarre, totally false theories about her relationship with Jack and how she might have been involved in his disappearance. The more this unfounded shitstorm swirls around Jack's family and Carly, the less likely it is that I think Carly's going to talk to a journalist like me. I do reach out to her, but sometimes she sees my messages and ignores them. Sometimes I'm not sure she sees them at all. But then occasionally, she does reply. So to my complete surprise, an email came through from Carly Beetham, Jack's ex-girlfriend, last week. And she just wrote in an email out of nowhere, after 9 months of trying to get in touch, she just writes here, "Hello, I'd be open to do an interview, but only an interview that contains myself. I don't wish for anyone else to be involved. Thank you." So short and sweet, and obviously straight away I thought, oh, this is a major breakthrough. And then unfortunately, I've messaged Carly a couple of times since in email and text, and I just got one text back that said, "I've decided I no longer wish to talk." So I'm kind of torn on that. Perhaps a little bit more correspondence back and forwards, and we can have this conversation.
After that, there's another 4 months of silence. But then eventually, more than a year after Jack disappeared, and after more than a year of back and forth with Carly, she contacts me to say she's ready to talk. I quickly pack a bag and I drive the 3 hours from my place on the Sunshine Coast all the way back out to the towns around Fix Crossing so I can finally speak with her face to face.
If you can pop...
Yeah, that's right.
We sit down in the lounge room at her mum's place, but Carly is really quiet while I set up. Okay, 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. There's no small talk. And when she sits down in this big armchair opposite me, she leans back away from me.
Hi, I'm Carly Beetham. I'm 27 years old and I'm from Gumeri, born in Wandai.
Carly spent basically her whole life in the group of small towns around Fix Crossing. If you follow the main highway, you go through Gumeri, Mergen, Fix Crossing, then Wandai, and on to the biggest town in the region, Kingaroy, which is where Carly's mum lives, where we're sitting right now. Carly's invited me here, but she seems cautious. That is, until we start the interview.
Tell me about how you perceive yourself, because I think that's been probably one of the issues, isn't it? People have made up this idea of who you are.
Yeah.
But who are you to yourself?
I guess, I'm honest. I'm not someone who beats around the bush. I'll tell you straight, even if it's not probably the nicest thing. Very strong-minded. But, yeah, I think me being me and what I've had to go through, yeah, it's made me stronger.
Talk to me about why you've decided to speak now.
I guess in a way, like, I don't know, because I guess you have everyone who's, like, talking, saying, like, oh, you know, she should speak. And I don't know, you kind of just get to the point where you're just like, right, oh, well, I'll just talk if that's what you just want, even though you might not like what I have to say, but at least then you can't come at me for not talking.
Carly says a relationship with Jack started well.
He was very caring, buying flowers or doing picnics up on the hill or stuff like that. He'd cook and he'd clean and he'd do it without having to be asked. We did things. We played board games. We did craft. We did quadding. We played Nerf guns. We did water balloon fights. Like, we did everything possible. It was always like, yeah, it's just a best friend.
It's important to say that this is Carly's recollection of the relationship. And although I'd love to hear Jack's memories of this, obviously I don't have that opportunity. Carly says the two of them spent almost all of their free time together, and they liked living on their isolated property, having their own space, doing their own thing. But pretty soon, they were arguing. They were arguing about small things, but these arguments often escalated quickly.
So when me and Jack would argue, he would get dressed up and he would head out to the pub and he'd not answer the phone, he'd go out, and then it'd end up being like, you know, me having to call him a million times, and then finally he'd get on the phone and then we'd be arguing and then all of a sudden he'd come home. But yeah, he'd do it because he knew he'd get a rise, but I think that was just, he didn't know how to deal with emotions. Like, I think it, when it come to his emotions, he didn't know how to handle them without, you know, getting angry.
I asked Carly what happened during the argument when the police were called, and she said they actually had two big arguments in the days before he disappeared. The first one, on the Tuesday, was even more heated than usual, and it left her shaken.
Jack went to leave with my car because his car wasn't working. And I said, you're not taking my car. And he said, well, I am, going to gym. So I called the cops and told them, you know, he's taking my car, ra-di-da-da. Next minute, he's driven back into the garage and got out and he's grabbing his things. And I said, well, I'm going, like, I'm going out. I'm going to go for a drive. And Jack was like, no, you're not going because I need you to drop me off. I need you to take me somewhere. And I said, well, no, you can drive your own car. And then, yeah, it got to the point where it was aggressive, like he was slamming the door, not letting me out. It was like when we argued, it was like, who could be the biggest asshole, really?
To use a common phrase, Jack's car was a bit of a shitbox. It was unreliable, and on this day, it needed a jump start. So in Jack's eyes, if Carly drove off in her car, he'd be trapped at the house. Carly says this situation enraged him. She says he got so angry that he did things he's never done before. He didn't hit Carly, but she was starting to worry about her physical safety.
He, yeah, grabbed my arm and pulled me back and slammed the door shut and went, you're not going anywhere, and took my keys. It was just him grabbing my arm and pulling me back so I wasn't going out the door. So I kind of just stayed, went about doing my thing. You know, he's walking around the house, smoking a cigarette, out of spite, like he knew it was pissing me off.
Both of them decided to stay at the house, even though the argument was threatening to boil over at any minute.
I was on the ladder cleaning, just trying to do my own thing, and he's grabbed the ladder and kind of pulled it as if, like, trying to get me to fall off. But yeah, it got to the point where he was just, I don't know, just completely switched. Like, he's never been to the point where he was like grabbing me and not letting me out, and you know, I was on my own with this 100 kilo man who was raging and seeing red.
Jack went outside, got some jumper leads, and got his car going.
He finally just grabbed all his things, went and got in the car, in his car, and just drove off.
Carly says police eventually rocked up to the house about 4 hours later, but Jack had already gone.
So the Tuesday was really, really bad But then all of a sudden, then that night we made up, and Wednesday we had a really good day. We were perfect, you know, good as.
Then on the Thursday night, the night before Jack disappeared, Carly and Jack had another argument. This time, Carly says she'd had enough, and she called the police again. I'd been pretty concerned about this side of Jack. I knew the police had been called on Thursday, but I didn't know the details of that huge fight on the Tuesday, or that police had been called then too. I asked Queensland Police if they could provide more details about these calls, but they declined to give any more information. Either way, the calls suggest to me that Carly was seriously worried about Jack's behaviour, and I can completely understand why. As a kid, I witnessed some pretty concerning violence against women. It's definitely left its mark on me and really shaped my attitudes towards this kind of thing. So part of me thinks if Jack has a history of doing this, if he's that kind of guy, I really don't have to be the one to tell his story. But I've rung around and checked, and there's no indication that he has done this kind of stuff before. Carly also told me herself that Jack had never been this intense. She also says that when she called the cops, everything shifted.
The thing is with Jack, as soon as I called the cops, his whole energy changed, his whole personality. He, like, clicked in and went, okay, like, this is serious. So as soon as I did that and he knew that I was calling them, he kind of clicked and went, righto, and got out.
Jack left to stay at his mum's house. This seems to be the moment that both of them realised the relationship was pretty much done. Carly says that on the Friday that Jack disappeared, she woke up and he hadn't come back. She had no idea what he was up to.
Yeah, I had literally thought, you know, he's probably at Trent's, where he said he was going to be living, or he's at his mum's doing something. So we don't speak at all till late afternoon, and it was messaging about, when are you going to come get the rest of your stuff? Just broke out to an argument.
But by Friday evening, the heat of the argument had mostly gone, and they started texting again. Carly tells me she still has the last text that she sent to Jack, and she starts to read them out to me.
So the first message we did on Friday was at 3:30.
For a while, they're just talking logistics about him getting the rest of his stuff from the house.
Him basically saying, not sure, won't be able to do it till Sunday.
Then Carly has a go at trying to end the relationship with Jack on a better note.
I sent a big message about saying, like, I'm sorry that's got to this. I never thought it would get this bad or end like this. I really want us to end on civil and good terms, even though the last few days have been bad and we've had a lot of arguments and bad moments. I do love all the memories we have made together.
At around the same time Carly sends this message, Jack's hanging out with his mate at Fix Crossing. Later, at 6 p.m, Jack and Carly talk on the phone briefly, and they argue again. Then they send some short texts back and forth.
So then at 8:15, I said, have you gotten the cough? Because I was sick. And he goes, no, you still sick. And he goes, that's no good, you should rest. Which is weird, because Jack doesn't say you should rest. It's, you know, he's... doesn't say that kind of stuff.
At 8:50 p.m. he replies again. This text is sent only about an hour before he disappears.
He said, well, make sure you have a good sleep in and drink water. Which is also weird, because Jack doesn't, like, Jack's caring, but he's not caring in the sense of saying those kind of things. Then at 9:49 I said, did you apply for that room? He goes, yeah, I did. Which, you know, anyone could say. And I say, okay, that's good. Hopefully you'll hear something. I said, well, good night then. And he just said, good night. And that was our last message.
To Carly, Jack's messages seem out of character, and she doesn't know what to make of them.
I just found it odd. I was like, that whole hour we went, and then those weird messages that didn't sound like Jack would ever type were happening. And, you know, it was kind of like, well, anyone could write that.
Carly goes to bed, hears nothing more from Jack. And when she wakes up the next day, Saturday, the 5th of October, 2024. She shoots Jack a message, hopeful that they might be able to patch things up.
Even though, yeah, we were arguing and we were talking about breaking up of that week, we would have got back together. And then I texted him on the 5th at 9:40 a.m. a picture of our dog, Stella. I got no response. Straight away, I knew, like, something was not right. As soon as he didn't respond to that photo, as soon as I realised he hadn't been online for hours, as soon as I realised that he didn't pick up my phone call, I went, something's wrong.
Before this interview with Carly, in the long period before she was ready to talk to me, I'd actively been looking everywhere for insights into Jack's relationship with Carly. I'd been searching social media, speaking to people who knew her and Jack, and a lot of what I heard was just rumour and nonsense. But there is one thing I stumbled on, which sticks with me. It's a recording of a short radio interview that Carly gave in the weeks after Jack disappeared. It comes from a time when she was actively organising the searches for him. Most people probably missed it, but in it, she talks about when she last spoke to Jack and what it's like for him to be missing. But it's something she said right at the end of the interview that I can't shake. And I think that's where my investigation will lead to next.
Is there anything you want the public to know about his disappearance? Any messages out there for people who may live in the area or pass through it?
I guess just for them to know that, you know, he was, I guess, with someone that, you know, isn't the best person to be hanging around.
In the next episode, the people Jack saw that final night and what Carly thought of them. If you saw anything the night Jack disappeared, if you know someone else who might have, get in touch. Unravel True Crime at abc.net.au, or you can call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000. This season of Unravel is intended to be listened to as a whole. If you haven't heard all the episodes, you shouldn't draw any conclusions because you haven't heard all sides of the story yet.